Aleph Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Chav Gimel. So we're talking about until now how there's this prophecy that's coming to these Nevi'im about these false Nevi'im, and they are telling Achav that he's going to be victorious at war and he should go out to war, not to worry. And then Achav calls over Michiel and he tells him, "What should I do?" And Michiel tells him, "You're going to lose. You're going to get killed." And Achav says, "See, I knew that's what you're going to say about me. You always say negative things about me. I knew exactly what you're going to say." So then we have this conversation that goes on in Shemaim, in the heavens, so to speak, between Hashem and all the evil deeds, all the avaris that Achav has done. And Hashem says, who's going to go out and seduce Achav? Who's going to go out and convince him to go out to war? And then the ruach of Navis, when Navis got killed, his ruach said, "I will be the one to seduce Yoav." Achav. So let's see Pasuk Chav Gimel. Ba'atu hine nasan Hashem ruach sheker b'fikol nevi'echa eile, v'Hashem dibar alecha ra'o. So this is now Michiel speaking. Michiel is telling Achav, you have it, Arkadi? Yeah, Michiel is telling Achav that Hashem put this ruach sheker, this false test, this false prophecy, in all these Nevi'im, all these prophets, and really, this is not good news. You're not going to be successful at war. Pasuk Chav Daled, Vegash Tzidkiyahu ben Kenaano, Tzidkiyahu ben Kenaano, who was the head, apparently, of all these Nevi'i sheker, v'yakas Michiel alalechi, v'yemer eize ovar ruach Hashem, mi'iti l'dabar oisach. He basically tells him, "Oh, what are you talking about? I have a real nevuah." He's sensing he's got a real nevuah, and this real nevuah is telling him. This real nevuah is telling him that he is in fact going to be successful. So they basically have some kind of contradiction between these two prophecies. The prophecy of Tzidkiyahu ben Kenaano, the head of the Nevi'i Sheker, the false Nevi'im, and Michiel. And they're challenging each other, right? So Achav doesn't know who to trust. You know, it's basically, you know, their word against his word. So Michiel explains to Tzidkiyahu, the head of the false Nevi'im, what's going on over here. So Pasuk Chav Hei continues, V'yomer Michiel, so he's basically telling him, "No, you don't understand what's going on up here. It's true. You also received a real prophecy. However, the prophecy that you are receiving is a prophecy in the future. How you in the future are going to see how there is going to be a king over the Jewish people, over Ramaz Gila, the place where they're going out to war. But I, says Michiel, I am looking at what's going on right now in the heavens, right? What's going on right now is that you're going to lose at war. You are seeing the future. That happens to be true. But it's deceiving you because you don't realize that it's the future. You think it's right now. You think, oh, the king, there will have a king over Ramaz Gilad. But I am seeing what's really going on over here, so which is not good for you."
So the Mechoyes like tell him what's actually happening. Like, and Zedekiah didn't want to listen. He just wanted to believe his own thoughts.
Right. Correct. Right. Right. He's not realizing what he's seeing. That's the problem. He's seeing the future. Right?
Yeah.
But the problem is that Michiel is seeing what's going on right now. Yeah. That's the issue. Yeah. So, what happens? What happens next? Ve'er melech Yisrael, kachas Michiel ve'ashuveu al omoin sarayir ve'l'yoyosh ben ha-melech. So, the king is obviously very upset with Michiel. He tells him, "Take Michiel, bring him back to Amon, who was the mayor of the city, and to Yoash, the prince." V'amarto, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Koyomer HaMelech, Simus Zeh Beis HaKelah, V'achinuhu Lechem lachatz and mayim lachatz ad boi b'shalim. So Hashem, the king, Achav, is instructing his men to put Michiel in prison, give him very little food, very little bread, very little water, until I, Achav, come back from war victorious. I'm basically going to punish Michiel for giving me this testimony. Now, if you realize that it says, in Pasuk Chavav, it says, Vashiveu, return him to prison. That's because this is not Michiel's first rodeo. He's been to prison before. And so now, Achav's telling him, go back to prison. Right? He's returning him to prison. So what's Achav's plan? What's his grand plan? Now, he clearly understands, Achav, it seems like he understood that the Nevi'i Sheker, the false Nevi'im, were in fact not giving him the true story, right? And Michiel is the one to give him the true story, the true prophecy. So why is he still going out to war, right? Because he's got a plan. He's going to carry out a plan, hoping that it will spare him from death. So let's see what he does. So Michiel says, if you in fact come back in peace, you come back victorious, that is going to be a clear proof that I did not receive true prophecy, the true nevuah, and in fact I'm a liar.
So when he listened to the false prophet, is it because he wanted to prove Mikhail was wrong, or was it because of his arrogance?
So we'll see. He had a plan. He knew Mikhail was right. However, he had a plan to spare himself from this nevuah. We'll see. See in a minute, right now. Pasuk Chavtes, V'yal melech Yisrael v'yashavat melech Yehuda ramas gilot. So Achav, the king of Israel, Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, go to Ramaz Gilad, the place of battle. This is the place they're trying to capture. V'yomer Melech Israel Yehoshaphat. Achav turns to Yehoshaphat and he tells them, "Yischapes uvoy b'melchama, ve'at levas b'gadecha, ve'yischapes Melech Israel ve'yomer b'melchama." So, what's his grand plan? His grand plan is he's going to disguise himself. He's going to dress up as one of the commoners, right? Just a regular person. No one's going to recognize him. He's going to take off his crown, take off all of his royal clothes, and no one's going to recognize him. That's his plan. Now, you might ask, really? That's your grand plan? Right? We have a prophecy from Hashem that you're going to be killed at war. Oh no, but Hashem won't be able to recognize me if I change my clothes. Ah, good one. Wow. You really outsmarted Hashem over here. Right? What's going on over here? What was he thinking? So, a few things. First off, he's trying to fend off any possible spies that knew what the prophecy was, that he's in fact going to be killed. And so he's first off trying to deceive the enemy, right? That's just on a natural cause, right? In the natural a natural sense. But then he's got to worry about the words of Michiel, who clearly said that Hashem's prophecy is that he's going to get killed. So for that, how is it going to help if he disguises himself? So he understood that he understood the ways of Hashem. And he was basically trying to not really outsmart Hashem, but he was trying to bring Hashem's prophecy into fruition, but in a different way. For example, we find that Paro, when Paro received the word of these his astrologers that that if the Jewish people leave Egypt, what's going to happen? They're going to, he saw this terrible bloodbath, so to speak, this terrible image of blood that's going to inflict the Jewish people. And so he warns Moshe, and he says, Ru kiro neged p'nechem. I can see in the stars that you have something negative, this sign of blood in your future if you leave Mitzrayim. Now, did that come into fruition? It did. But Hashem changed it into dam milah, into the blood of circumcision instead of this sign of blood the Paro saw in the stars. So it did come into fruition, but in a different way. And in a similar vein, we find that the Egyptians, the astrologers of Paro, saw that the Redeemer of the Jewish people is going to be inflicted by water. So what do? They decreed that every single boy that's born in Mitzrayim is going to be thrown into the Nile River. Hoping, they knew, right, they knew that his weak point is water. So if they throw him into the Nile River, he's going to be killed. What they didn't recognize is that it did, in fact, come true, but in a different way. It came true in a way where Moshe was placed in the Nile River in the basket. That, when they saw that, fulfilled the prophecy or image or vision that the astrologers saw that the Redeemer of the Jewish people is going to be killed through water. Right. So it came about in a different way, in a different sense, and that fulfilled the prophecy in a way.
Astrology makes sense in Judaism?
Astrology is a real thing. What the astrologers were seeing is real.
But
wasn't just
even now?
Now we don't have access to real astrology. But it is real.
What is astrology now is not what is astrology was before.
No.
Usually astrology is now time it's based for the stars where people born.
It's really not even close to what the astrologers had back then.
Yeah.
It was very different. Back then they had real powers. They were really able to see things, and they weren't Paro, right? Paro did a lot of his actions based on the astrology. His astrologers, right? But they know, right? The problem with astrology is that you see an image. It's a very unclear, distorted image. It could be many different things. Right? So, for example, Potiphar also, the wife of Potiphar, she seduced Yosef. She wanted to be intimate with him because she knew she saw in the stars that she and him together were going to have descendants. She was true. Which was true, right? The mistake she made was that it wasn't from her, rather it was from her daughter. Her daughter, Osnas, ended up marrying Yosef. So what she saw in the stars was that she and Yosef were going to become together. They're going to have descendants together, but it was not very unclear, right? So you do have some kind of image, and it is true, it is real, but to apply that into reality is a very difficult thing to do. And many times, it could be applied into reality, but changed in a different way. It can come into fruition in a different way. Like Moshe was supposed to die by water. That was his weak point. And in fact, when he was put in the Nile River by his mother and sister into the basket, that's how that image came into fruition. In a different way. Part of what the astrologers saw in the stars was that they were looking at actually in the future that the reason Moshe did not go into the land of Israel was because of what? Because of Mei Meriva. Because he was told to speak to the rock and to bring forth water, and instead he struck the rock and brought forth water. That caused him to lose the merit of going into the land of Israel. So they saw the downfall of Moshe coming through water. They saw that. They saw the whole story of Mei Meriva. So that's why they came up with a decree of throwing all the Jewish boys into the Nile River.
What make wife of Paro to believe she should have kids from?
Again, astrology.
Astrology?
Yeah.
But this is astrology. It's, in this time, everybody has able to...
Not everybody, but it was much more common than it is today.
No, but what special in he is his wife? No, he is not a scientist. No, he is probably ordinary woman. Or why she has so kind of power to recognize...
How did she have such power?
No, but Paro probably is his astrology, kind of very special people, but we don't know anything about this woman. Only she wants to seduce Joseph, nothing else.
Right, but I'm saying she was definitely royalty. She was part of the royal family. She was one.
She was a priest, am I correct?
Yeah.
Like her husband.
Yeah, her husband was a priest, yeah.
But this is part of education or part of the special ability of mind?
That's a good question. I don't know if they had a college course back then, you know, astrology, you know, looking into the stars.
No, but this intuition, this is part of your mentality, but astrology, so, you know, now people have some books.
Well, it was part of the culture, that's cool. That much is clear. It was part of the culture.
There is some mention about this is Paro wife as Bavos. She used astrology for...
Paro's wife?
Yeah. But once she...
You mean Potiphar's wife?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The Medrash talks about it.
A Medrash?
Yeah.
Okay. But Medrash, this is stable source of knowledge or this kind of fable?
No, so yeah, it's a real source of knowledge. Sure.
I believe some Medrash is only a story, or...
No, this is a real Medrash.
It means they have based for some
things. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What has actually happened.
Yeah. Then we find also that the witchcraft was very common in Egypt as well.
When they had the snakes against Moses' staff.
Exactly.
No, but witchcraft were common in another part of Israel. In the Europe, even America, there is something happening.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying what Kevin was saying before was that when Moshe and Aaron first came to Paro, and they told him, they did the trick with the stick, right? They turned the stick into a serpent. Paro starts laughing. He says, little kids can do that. He brings 5-year-olds to come and do that in front of Moshe and Aaron. Right? 5-year-olds. What 5-year-old today can turn a stick into a snake? How many 5-year-olds do you know who can do that? Forget 5-year-olds. How about, I don't know, 80-year-olds? How many 80-year-olds do you know who can do that?
This is kind of small version of Harry Potter.
It was a totally different college compared to now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the witchcraft now, it's a joke. It's just put a random word, that's it.
Right.
It's a magic.
Right. Yeah, no, it's not, we have today, it's not the same thing. Nowhere near. Anyway, back to what we're discussing over here. So, based on this idea, what Achav was trying to do is that he understood the prophecy to be true. He understood the prophecy is going to come to fruition, but he was hoping that by him taking off his crown, taking off his royal clothes, that will be enough to bring the prophecy into fruition. By him now wearing his royal clothes and royal crown, he's not going to be considered to be king anymore, and in some sense, he's going to be dead. Quote unquote.
He was disguising himself as a soldier, like
no, just a commoner.
Just a commoner.
Well, yeah, a soldier, yeah.
Like a
regular, yeah, regular soldier. So that's what he was trying to do, right? It wasn't like he was, you know, hoping to fool Hashem. Rather, he was more hoping to bring the prophecy into fruition in that sense, in that way. That's what's going on over here. So let's continue. Let's see what happens. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Umelech Aram Tziva Tzari HaRechev Asher Loi Shloishim V'Shnayim Leimar Loi Tulachmu Eskoton V'Eskodom Ki'im Esmelech Yisrael Levadoi. So the king of Aram warns his men and he tells them, okay guys, listen. You've got one single mission over here. Your priority today is to capture Melech Yisrael. Forget about all the other soldiers. I don't care. They killed. They don't get killed. They manage to get out free. Right? Meaning, it's not that he had... The Radak points out that it's not that he had, you know, mercy over the Jewish people. Oh, he felt bad. Oh, I don't want to kill them if I don't have to. No. It just wasn't his priority. You wanted to capture the king of the Jewish people. Melech Yisrael. Right? But, so the strategy was... That if the king sees that the war is heavy and it's really intense, what's he gonna do? He's gonna escape. He's gonna run away. He's not gonna want to get captured. So therefore, he says, try to avoid fighting with the soldiers, not because he cares about them, rather because. He wants the war to go straight to the king rather than to the soldiers. That way, he's hoping to capture Achav. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Ve'ikir ois Yisrael ha'rechav ha'yoshafat ve'hema amru ach melech Yisraelu ve'yasiru olav le'ilachem ve'yizak yoshafat. So when they see the chariot of yoshafat, they think right away, this must be Melech Yisrael, this must be the king of Israel.
Yeah.
So, the first thing they do is they charge towards him, and Yehoshaphat starts screaming, oh no, please help me, save me, somebody, right?
Fortune.
Yeah. And then, once they heard him, what happens? Ve'iki ro'i sarech v'kiloi Melech Yisrael u'v'yishuv ma'acharav. The Radak points out, they recognize Yehoshaphat's voice. They realized that it was not Achav, rather it was Yehoshaphat. And they said, okay, you know what? Wrong guy. Let's back off and try to find Achav. But they didn't know, they didn't realize that Achav was in disguise. He was hiding. So how are they going to capture him? So, of course, the Nevuah has to come into fruition. So what happens? Pasuk Lamed Daled. Ve'ish moshach b'keshes l'tumay v'yake es melech Yisrael b'in ha'dvokim u'b'in ha'shiryon v'yomer l'roch v'yafoich ha'decha v'yitzi'eni min ha'machane ki ha'choleisi. So what's happening right now is that you have someone, you have just, you know, a regular guy. He's got a bow and arrow. He pulls the bow, he shoots, and who does it hit? Well, he wasn't really aiming for anything. Right? It says Moshach Bekeshes Latumai. He wasn't aiming for the king for Achav. Rather, he hit Achav by mistake, by total chance.
Wow!
But who? What is his man? He belonged to enemy or from?
Yeah. Yeah, he belonged to the enemy.
But he hit by chance.
Yeah, he hit him by total chance.
What is Hashem said?
Right. This is the Nevuah coming into fruition. He thought he was going to disguise himself and that would take care of it, but it didn't work.
What does it mean by between the scales and the quilt.
Yeah, so the Matzutas Davis over explains how the shield worked. So it was made out of iron, and it was some kind of bodysuit, but it had holes in it. And in each hole, there were these little circles of iron, like scales. And these scales are supposed to cover the holes on the iron. So the arrow won't get through.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they called called dvakim because they stick to the iron. They would stick them to the iron to cover up these holes. And so what happened was is that this arrow managed to get through. Apparently there was some kind of space between these little small round things that were like scales, and managed to get into through the body armor and to hit Achav. So Achav turns to the man who's riding him, and he says, "Turn around. Why? Ki chalesi. I'm sick. I became sick." Now he didn't want to tell him what really happened. He didn't want to tell him that he actually got hit.
Was it from the back or from the front?
That's a good question. Sounds like it was from the front because he was facing the war. He wasn't running away.
Okay.
He was coming head on. It says he was standing up. He wasn't even sitting down. He was standing up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Achav gets hurt. He gets hit. And he tells his man, "Turn around, get me out of here." So pasuk lamedhei. One more pasuk. V'talei amlechama bayim ahu v'melech hayim ma'amad b'merkava noichach aram v'yamas be'erev v'yitzek damamako al cheik harechev. So the war goes on, gets heavier and heavier. And as the king, Achav, is standing in the chariot towards Aram, he gets hit and he dies, and the blood spills all over the chariot. Now, we're going to see, next week, we're going to see how this affects the war, and how in fact this was a direct punishment, measure for measure, for what Achav did to Nevis. Okay, we'll stop here.